You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, founder of Thompson & Terry Recruitment, a business which I've recently exited. This is the Business Brunch, and on today's show, we're going to be talking about what makes a high-performing team. And to do that, we're joined by three wonderful local business professionals. Matt Grierson of Grierson Coaching and Consulting, Jane Fryer of Face-to-Face HR, and Graham Hutchins of Profitability. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our three experts after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. And if you are just tuning in, and today we're talking about a topic which is so important and so interesting. We're talking about what makes a high-performing team. And to do that, we're joined by three local experts. So let's start by introducing them. So I'll start with you, Matt, if that's okay. Welcome. For those who don't know you and aren't familiar with your business, please introduce yourself.
Morning. Thanks for having me on the show, Ben. Really appreciate this. So I'm Matt Grierson, founder of Grierson Coaching and Consulting. I'm a business coach and I focus primarily on executive leadership and team coaching. I work with founders and business owners who are very successful in what they do, but also realize that working with teams and managing people is often the hardest part of their job. I do this because I firmly believe that a high-performing team is really a goal for any aspiring business owner. So that's me. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks so much, Matt. And next up, Jane.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm Jane Fryer from Face-to-Face HR. We work with small businesses to help them get the best from their people and deal effectively with those tricky HR issues when they do arise. And obviously, when you've got people working for you, as you both said, it can bring some challenges and having difficult conversations. And that's what we support people with.
Amazing. And last but certainly not least, Graham.
Hey, everyone. Thanks, Ben. So I manage Profitability Business Simulations. We're based just south of Oxford. So we focus on social, experiential and game-based learning for tends to be for very large companies. And I've been working here for 6 years, primarily with the focus of trying to grow the business so we can exit our founders. And building the team to do that. So that's the kind of perspective I bring.
Amazing. No, really look forward to learning more about that, Graham. So Graham, I'm going to pick on you first because I've known you the longest. So unfortunately, you've got the short straw. As with our other guest today, you have chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
Well, the my song choice, my kids are very keen on the, got very into the World Cup. They're really want me to play Waving Flag by K-Nan, which was the South African World Cup theme tune, I believe.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that very fitting song chosen by Graham's children, we've heard from our three experts, Matt, Jane and Graham, all about their wonderful businesses. And I would definitely, definitely encourage you to go and follow them on socials because they all share some great, great stuff. Today, we're talking about what makes a high performing team. So let's just start the discussion, if that's OK, Matt. And I'm going to start with a big question, if that's OK. What does make a high performing team?
In my mind, a high performing team. Teams need goals. I mean, firstly, what is a team? A team is really two or more people who share a purpose and are pursuing a goal. Teams need leadership. Teams need followers. But I think a high-performing team needs to pursue a goal that's clear. They're all involved in the formation of that goal, ideally. And the leader and mature members of the team will help them in pursuit of that goal. So I think leadership, clarity around purpose, definition of a clear overarching goal or goals, depending on how large the team is, are fundamentals to really set a team off in pursuit of high performance. Because I think teamwork is notoriously difficult, given, you know, team members are likely all to be very, very different characteristics, different mindsets, different behavioral styles. And you have to understand the individuals of the team, you know, to really get them high performing.
Oh, totally. And Jane, what are some of the things that you can do at that early formation stage? So you're looking to build a high performing team. Mm. What are some of the things to consider at that point?
I think building on what Matt's just said there, actually, it's so important to understand the individuals that you have in a team. So whilst they are obviously going to be working together, and yes, we want a goal that kind of unites everybody, we've also got to understand who you've got and what motivates them and what's going to get the best from them, because actually, you know, they're all individuals. They've all got different desires and wishes, and how they want to be treated is going to be slightly different. And, you know, sometimes we do come up against managers who are thinking, well, I've treated everyone the same, it must be fair, you know, but actually the best way to get the best out of someone is to treat them the way that they want to be treated, that gets the best out of them. So unless you come from a position of understanding who you've got in that team, you can't really do that.
No, really interesting. And Graham, in your intro, you mentioned about typically working with quite large businesses and larger teams. How did the complexities change when working with a larger team compared to potentially an SME?
Well, I think the fundamentals are kind of the same for all, like they're all, as Matt said, just a collection of human beings, basically. The thing we see typically in very large companies, just out of the way they are structured, is that the person who is best at doing the task or the technical job gets rewarded by being given people to manage. And they typically either aren't very good at that or don't want to do that, but that's the kind of way that reward happens as you progress up the career rank. And this kind of idea of accidental management, or people just being in leadership positions without like the people skills to do that, is like one of the main problems that that big companies face.
No, absolutely. We're certainly build more on that. Matt, I'm keen to understand where personality profiling can fit into this, because I think that with the World Cup, Graham mentioned it first, not I, but I think with the World Cup, it's very easy in a football team, isn't it, that you can see that you need a striker and you need a defender. But within business, it's not as obvious in terms of the different personalities you need. Can personality profiling be part of that? And where should profiling be used? I know you're a big fan, aren't you?
Absolutely. I work with a product developed by a company called MindFlick, and the profiling tool is called Spotlight. Interestingly, on a football link, MindFlick yesterday announced they've signed with Manchester United, who will use the profiling tool across their entire business. Where it helps, I think it understands team members really become more self-aware, understanding how they view the world through a mindset profile and their behavioral style, whereby individuals can gain that self-awareness, understand how they perform, their strengths, provide an anatomy of strengths, and then you can map them as a team. So individually, they can collectively see themselves as a team, what their strengths are, their combined strengths, where they've got gaps, where they might need to adapt and lean into their lesser preferences, because it's not necessarily a capability tool, far from it. It's a tool designed to help teams adapt and grow, and provides insight on empty chair thinking, the things they're least likely to want to do or engage with. But very often when change is required and you're performing under pressure, that's when you need to adapt. That's when you might need to look through a different lens and lean into a different perspective. And doing that individually and as a team, I believe it can bring great benefit and, you know, leading to that high performance.
And Jay, what's your take? Because I know that you use various personality profiles across your clients. I'd be just really interested to understand your perspective there.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. I am a fan of it. It's not right for every situation, but we do quite like to use it as part of our recruitment process. Even for my own business, I've used it in the recruitment process because interviews can be very unreliable. You know, a lot of the time you're testing how good someone is at interviewing rather than, you know, what sort of behaviors they're going to display in their job. And whilst you might be able to test the technical skills, actually the behavioural piece is very difficult to test through that medium. And the personality profiling just gives you another data point. So, you know, to assess, is this person the right fit for the business? And obviously with laws changing next year, this is going to be so important that we make that decision really early on. So the more kind of different pieces of data you have on that person, the better, I think. So I am a big fan of using it before the second interview to really probe those kind of more behavioural questions that you might want to be asking.
No, totally. And Graham, where can game-based learning fit into this? Because I know there's some huge studies and benefits to some of the work that you do around game-based learning. I'm just keen to give that insight to the listeners.
Yeah, I mean, so we definitely are a fan of profiling as well. We do it with our own onboarding for our own team as well. We find that very useful, particularly for kind of understanding how an individual might respond to what type of work and the way we might develop them. But where game-based learning comes in, we're quite careful. We rarely use it for kind of talent assessment with clients because it can open up a whole can of worms that we can't close. But clients are always eager for us to do so. And the central benefit of it when it comes to kind of understanding how someone is it promotes, or it's very hard to not display your natural behaviors under pressure when you're in a kind of social competitive environment. Even we'll have like leaders who come on and say, I'm not going to get involved, I'm just going to watch what happens. You know, within 30 seconds they're just going to be diving in and displaying all of their biases and natural behaviors that they do anyway. So this, the prime benefit when it comes to understanding how people are of our approach, I think, is that it gives a window into how people behave and collaborate under pressure, which I think for like coaches and for decision makers in companies and for anyone with self-awareness is like really critical to understand how do I show up under pressure and what might be the impact of that on others.
Amazing. Talking of pressure, Matt, I'm going to put you under pressure. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
My song choice is by Seal. The song is Crazy. I've picked that song because I vividly remember being on a beach in the Maldives. I was 21 and I just completed my second business tour of the Indian subcontinent, now known as South Asia. So I'd been to Pakistan, Bangladesh, India, various cities in India, Sri Lanka, and ended my 5-week tour in the Maldives. And I remember listening to this song on my Sony Walkman. That takes you back. So that's my song choice.
Introducing you to local trusted experts. This is The Business Brunch. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network, the friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to The Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are tuning in, you're in for a treat. We're joined by three wonderful business leaders. Matt Grierson of Grierson Coaching and Consulting, Jane Fryer of Face-to-Face HR, and Graham Hutchins of Profitability. And together we're talking about what makes a high-performing team. Matt, I'm keen to bring the conversation along to you in terms of the founder, the business leader, because I think that one of the things that so many organizations see is that the founder has their own ways of working and in some ways sets the values. But it's so important that we get the buy-in from the wider team, especially when we get to that point of exit, which we'll talk more about in a moment. But what can you do with founders in order to be able to coach them and support them to be able to build and lead that high-performing team?
Well, through coaching, certainly I'm a qualified executive coach and did my master's research on coaching for team leadership. I think fundamentally any leader needs to become self-aware or more self-aware. So through profiling, that's a tool we could use working with founders. But then I think through executive coaching, one-to-one coaching, I'm able to hold a space. I'm able to listen, observe, question. It really helped those founders find themselves to think about what they're thinking. Because we've all got a blind self that others notice. And in coaching, through my qualification and my training, I'm able to help those founders perhaps unlock thoughts and find answers that they wouldn't necessarily find themselves working, you know, individually. So it's providing that space for introspection, holding the space for them, that I think would help any founder be more expedient, more considered in their approach, really, from starting a business through to exit.
Really interesting. And Jane, I know that there's lots of studies that show that as human beings, we may gravitate to people who sound like us, look like us, act like us. What can we do to ensure that we're building diversity in our teams and building diversity also in ways of thinking? What are some of the things to think about from, I guess, that onboarding and recruitment perspective?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question because, like you say, we often do gravitate to people who feel like us, you know, who we kind of chime with, if you like. But I think preparing for interview is so important to avoid that, because otherwise what you're going off, you know, your kind of gut feel, which often does end up with that kind of halo effect. So we do encourage people to think about, you know, well, obviously prepare a job description, all of that kind of the good practice, but also think about what of the type of person are you looking to fit into the team. And like Matt said, part of that is even understanding what you've got and what you're lacking maybe, and then sort of think through, well, how do I test for those particular qualities that I'm looking for? And I do love using very simple competency matrices. So taking your values and actually really kind of drilling down into, well, what does that value really mean in practice? What sort of competencies am I looking for that person to display? And that can really help with things like interview questions, probing what type of qualities you want in that person. And, you know, and that will help you to then build a bit more diversity into the team. Diversity of thinking, diversity of background is so important in high performing teams. You don't want 10 people all exactly the same. And yeah, I suppose the other thing is having a more inclusive culture, you know, and thinking about, you know, are we attractive to a broad church of people, or are we looking like an old boys club? Or do you know what I mean? Like just thinking about how you're projecting your image, whether it's on your website or through your recruitment marketing, you know, the type of images you display, the language you use, it's also important in who applies for that job.
No, totally. What's your take on this piece, Graham?
I think for one thing I've kind of found has worked is thinking about, if you're leading the business, when to really lead and when to just like let others lead is like become really important. And if we're talking about a topic of like inclusion and diversity, for example, to Matt's point, we all have our own biases that we can't kind of stop. And I've found that, like, particularly when it comes to hiring, just letting the team decide and run the recruitment process and me, you know, not really being part of it has yielded much better results for us. And similarly, like in times of real, I think, you know, when I took over the business during COVID, that was a time where I was having to be like extremely directional on top of everything, like masses of communication every day. But as the situation settles, or when, you know, when you feel like your team are kind of like kind of clear on the objectives and what's going on, then it's a time to like just stop talking and let them go on with it. And I think just that modulation of leadership intensity really helps helps just the natural talents and individual capabilities of the whole team flourish, so that you become more than the sum of your parts.
Really, really interesting point, because I think that's something that we see within a lot of organizations, particularly small businesses. You've got the founder that is their baby, and actually almost taking the break off and being able to give opportunity and being able to give that license to shine. You know, I've run a micro business for 12 years, and genuinely I think that it took me 10 and a half years to get to that point, to have kind of that light bulb moment to say, actually, guys, you are amazing. You know, go and deal, you know, go and take our best client, go and design the business plan, go, you don't need me. And you know, that's what the least exit. So it's no, really fascinating point there, Graham. Matt, I'm keen to be a little bit negative, if that's okay. What do you do when a team isn't high performing? What do you do where you feel that revenue's going backwards, or maybe you start to lose some people? And I'm sure this is a topic that Graham and Jane would love to comment on. But you feel like you're losing your place. What are some of the things to consider there?
Question: if I reflect on my career, I've been in situations where the markets turned down, team members weren't performing, and as a result of both of those factors, had to reduce costs and make redundancies, terminate employees. I think ultimately you're in business for a reason, to make money, to grow, and you have to face those challenges and draw on the support of people around you. But ultimately, as a leader, it would be your decision. So I think, tough choices need to be made, and you can't shy from them. And that's where, I guess, working with someone like Jane, making sure you're getting the right advice from an HR standpoint, particularly with the new laws in place, new employment laws, you've got to face into it. And don't delay making those decisions. That would be my advice to anybody listening. Tough choices need to be made in business. Challenges are continual, and I think you've got to face them and take decisions appropriately. But make sure you do so, having taken the right advice, should you need it, to ensure that you're doing right by the company and an employee that might be affected. But I think inevitably, in any team, at some point, you need to adjourn. Things change. Again, back to football, we look at Alex Ferguson. He was a brilliant, brilliant leader, but he was great at making adjustments and changing team members as and when he needed to maintain the overall high performance of Manchester United that led to all of their success. So, Tuchman, if you go back to 1965, his ethos was, forming, storming, norming, performing, and then latterly adjourning, the changes were required. So that would be my take on it, Ben.
No, really, really fascinating. And Jane, what about yourself? What would be your input?
Yeah, I think it's the most difficult thing a business owner ever has to do, isn't it? Consider losing a team member, and we do support people a lot in this situation. The thing I would say is it's very easy to knee jerk in those type of situations, when you can see the bottom lines being affected. Oh God, I've suddenly got to get rid of people. People make rash decisions from a kind of emotional standpoint. And I often say to people, just take a little bit of time, just think, well, what is causing this? If it's the market, is that a long-term thing? Is it a short-term thing? Are you going to have some recovery? Is there a need to pivot the business? There can be all sorts of reasons for why there's a dip. Is the team not performing? Is there somebody in the team who's kind of creating that situation? So it is definitely worth sitting back and reflecting. And if there is a decision that actually we do need to reduce people-related costs, if we can, share that with your people, because often they know where the fat is. They can see it from their perspective. Actually, if could we do this? Could we change this? Could we all reduce our hours slightly? I'm happy to take a pay cut. It's amazing what people will do and how loyal they are to the business. So I think, yeah, that's what I would say.
No, really, really insightful. And Graham, I'm going to quote you before asking your input here. So on one of the very early shows of the Business Brunch, something that's always stuck with me, and it's a really simple phrase that you said, is that nobody wants to do a bad job. And actually, when you communicate with your people and have those conversations, sometimes you'll be very surprised by their outcomes. So enough of me talking for you, Graham, if that's okay. But what's your take on a low performing team or members in that team that may not be performing?
I think that, just building on what Jane said, like there's a this idea of like performance is like so multifaceted. I know like lots of like you know, lots of ex-sportsmen and stuff love to make the sports analogy to business and like what that means for high performance, but it just, in my view, it just rarely works. Like the measures of performance in sport are so much clearer than they are in work. So yeah, building what Jane said, just really understanding what is performance, and if it's low performance, by what measure is that? If it's like the company not performing well, that's likely to be a whole multitude of things. I would definitely look at like leadership. I always look at like myself first if we're going through a bad patch or something like that, and it's really hard to do that, but it's almost always something that's gone wrong at the leadership level in terms of communication or direction or motivation, or in some way the leader's gone off the boil. If you're convinced that you've got the right characters that you like in the organization, it's normally possible, again, building on what Jane said, to kind of just repurpose those people into maybe slightly different types of things, to, you know, more befitting of what the market needs at the moment. And an interesting thing at the moment, I think we're seeing, is like the younger people coming to the workforce. This is a bit of a kind of cliche, but we certainly see that the communication skills and the kind of understanding of how to like what like hard work is, just like they do need some help with that. And that requires, I mean, I'm sure it's the same with all, you know, any sort of different generations in the workforce, just understanding that to that, your first point, they do really care. It's just they often don't know how to like channel that passion. And in a more distributed or virtual workforce where they're not always physically with you, you just have to work doubly hard to make sure that you show them the way to channel their efforts, how to communicate, how to collaborate, because they've typically, these people aged, you know, 20 to 25 have had a pretty tough time the last 10 years of coming out of education, and it's the responsibility of employers now to I think to really help them with that, with finding their place in work.
Amazing. Jane, I'm sure you'll be keen to build on that point, but before that, we need a song. What's your song choice and why we picked it?
Oh, yes. So I've chosen Hakuna Matata from The Lion King. And the reason is my daughter is singing it in the castle in Disneyland Paris next month, which is very exciting for us. So I thought I'd play it for her, really.
The Business Brunch Podcast with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. We've got some very, very happy children on today's show. But if you are just tuning in, we're talking about how to build a high performing team, and with three absolute experts on this topic. So thank you to the three of you. Jane, just building on Graham's point before, what's your take?
Yeah, it's really interesting listening to you talk. And I think the thing that I've noticed over the last, even just this year, actually, the last few months, is how many referrals we are doing to occupational health for not just young people, actually, people of all ages, but there is a lot of mental health challenges out there. And I think as a leader, you've got to understand that dimension. You've got to think about how you're supporting the whole person in the workplace, not just, you know, the work element of that person. And you know, we shouldn't be scared of asking people about how they're feeling, what they're struggling with, what maybe triggers them, what things they need to be mentally well at work. They're all great questions that we should be asking people when they join as part of their onboarding. It just made me think of that when I was listening to Graham talk. Then it's such a big thing, I think, now, managing younger people, particularly who've had those challenging COVID years.
Yeah, totally. It's certainly a tough world, and I think it's highly reported and rightly so about the youth unemployment crisis and the factors that lead to that. And I think as business leaders, we have a duty, we have a responsibility, right, to make the world a better place. So thank you both. Well, thank you to the three of you for your points there. Matt, something I'm keen to build on is balancing peak performance with doing the right thing and welfare and well-being. Because I think it's if we go in a networking room, we always hear, "How's business?" or "I'm up this percentage." And if we go into boardrooms, we always see around percentage of growth and profitability. So how do we balance those metrics of peak performance with well-being and doing business the right way? What's been your take here?
Great question. I think this comes back to leadership, responsibility, duty of care, and really ensuring that you're with your team. You see yourself as a team member. And I'm reflecting on my career, given my age, working, early 90s overseas. I had some bosses where it was all about work. And we worked hard, and we played incredibly hard, and that was fine. But I don't think it's so fine anymore. And I've worked in a lot of sales teams where people work long into the night, and after a while, it catches up with them, and it catches up with the team, and it catches up with performance. But those habits are so ingrained, they're hard to change. So I think as a leader, you need to be on top of what's going on, dialed into it, ensuring that you're creating the right, you're sending the right messages. You're talking about work-life balance, work-life blend, whatever you want to call it, and you're ensuring that a day's work is done in a day, and you're affording employees the opportunity to live a life outside of work. It's a great question because I think it comes back to workplace culture. And I think if the culture's not right, if the c culture is profit driven, that there's less care and it's coming from the top, that can be hard to break. And I've certainly known more cultures like that than a workplace culture that's really focused on staff well-being and mental health. I don't know what Jane and Graham would add to that.
No, it's a really interesting one, and actually, I think a really interesting point to build on that, Matt, and something that Graham touched on earlier is around that progression piece. I know during your time at Anglo Info and profitability, there's lots of LinkedIn profiles where people have had five promotions over a period of time, and I think that it's hats off to you in terms of that progression piece. But how do you balance the progression, but in line with the person, what's right for them and what's right for the business? Because I think we've all seen in other organizations where, as you touched on at the start of the show, the top salesperson by default becomes the sales manager, but actually their skills aren't necessarily management and they don't necessarily enjoy it. And then you've lost your salesperson, but also had the wrong manager. So what's your take on my brain dump there, Graham, in a more polished way than I put it forward?
I think it's just challenging that kind of paradigm of sort of growth versus prosperity. And as Jane said, a lot of the sort of mental health issues that so many people are facing is just because we live in this world that's just more, 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 everything all at once. And that's reflected in like constant, whether it's a promotion or sales growth or whatever. But if there can be greater adoption of a mindset of just being part of a great team, just feeling like you've done a great job, and that sense of satisfaction, whether that's with a client or with a colleague, being part of something is like so incredible as a human being. And especially for like young people coming into the workforce, as I mentioned, like they often haven't been part of a team and they don't feel great about themselves. And it's an amazing kind of repositioning of the purpose of businesses, I think, now. If you get that sort of thing right, that like this is a place that you as a human being can start to feel great about yourself and work with each other on meaningful stuff, solve problems that really exist in the world, your performance is going to fly anyway. So it's definitely possible, I've seen this, to kind of get short, financial performance in a terrible culture for like 1 or 2 years. But that will always fall away. The only way to get sustainable performance is by focusing on the kind of why we're here, which isn't going to be around financial goals. It's going to be about how do we make your life great, and how do we make your work a big part of your life being great, but not maybe the biggest part.
Absolutely. No, really, really good. We are coming to the final stint of the show. But one of the things that I love to leave our listeners with is a lasting tip. You've given so much insight already, so it doesn't necessarily need to be something fresh, albeit it could be something I've not asked you about, or it could be just underlining in their notepads, because of course our wonderful listeners have been very good students and made lots of notes, haven't they? So I'm going to start with you, Matt. What would be your lasting top tip to leave our listeners with?
I would suggest in these challenging times, at the end of each week, take 20 minutes, half an hour to think about what you've achieved during your working week and write them down, write the positives, think about that and make a habit of reflecting and drawing on the positivity of your working week. All too often, it's easy to overlook where we've succeeded. So that would be my tip.
Amazing. And Jane, what about yourself?
I think that's a great tip, Matt. I like that one. But I suppose I would just extend that further and say, well, what does great performance look like in your organisation? You know, how do you know when it's great performance? And are you demonstrating that yourself? You know, if you want people to, yes, work hard, but also look after themselves and turn up, you know, feeling positive and engaged. And are you displaying the behaviours that lead you to be like that, you know, whether it's making sure you're going to the gym or going and sitting out in a park at lunchtime or whatever it is that makes you feel balanced and ready to work. Because so many of us, you know, we forget that actually we're setting the culture at the end of the day. We're the one at the top, aren't we?
No, totally. And last but not least, Graham.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely support this idea of getting into good habits, consistent good habits, whether that's, you know, I've started doing like whenever we have a one-to-one, I like walk now outside with headphones on, and it just feels like you get much better conversation and you get some exercise. But a good analogy I like to think of is like filling up a load of milk bottles with a hose. You can stand there and spray from afar, and a little bit will go in a few, and it'll take a long time to fill them all up. It's much quicker to go around one by one. And I like to think of like a team like that, and it sounds very business metaphory this, but like just that one-to-one relationship that you can have, especially in a small business, you've got the ability to do that. Just take that person out for lunch, take that, like, you know, send that message saying how things, haven't heard from you in a while. Be that really obvious presence in the team that's like really looking out for them and wanting to understand them on a human level. So many times we hear people say everyone all right in a team environment. Never in the history of a leader saying everyone okay with this has anyone said anything other than yes, because it's just not how it works. So really focus on those one-to-one relationships.
Amazing. That is the end of the show. So thank you so much to our three experts for joining us on the Business Brunch here on Get Radio today. Just a reminder, so you can go and follow their work on LinkedIn and socials. We've had Matt Grierson of Grierson Coaching and Consulting, Jane Fryer of Face-to-Face HR, and Graham Hutchins of Profitability. Just a reminder, we are going to be back next week with some brand new guests talking about topics that are going to impact on local businesses here in Oxfordshire. And just a reminder, you can listen to this radio show online or on the radio anywhere in Oxfordshire every Sunday at 11 a.m. Or if you prefer podcasts, do listen out for the podcast version, which is released on every major podcast platform on the Monday morning. And if you prefer to see my lovely guests, do look out for the video version, which goes out on the Get Radio website and their Facebook page every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.